I didn't know. Yeah. Wow. This was well planned out. So this is really well planned out. Well, good morning, everybody. Hey, that was not nearly as hearty as he gets. Every single time I go, good morning, everybody's like, oh my gosh, good morning. He comes up, good morning, everybody. Good morning. Thank you very much. Good grief. How do you get thank you? It is nice to be seen. Thanks, man. That's victory. So, well, hey, I hope if you have your Bibles, and I hope you do, if you turn over to the book of Galatians, this week is the first Sunday, I guess, of our, you know, jumping into our Advent series, and it's really an honor for me to be here. It's an honor for me to share this pulpit with this man, and I hope you don't regret this decision rather than asking me to come up. So this week, while I was putting together this sermon, it was weird. I'm thinking about, you know, these names. And so the first name that we're going to go over this morning is this idea of the Wonderful Counselor. That's a great name, right? It's a great name for Jesus. There's one, that's it. So, okay, great. So the Wonderful Counselor, like, it's, you know, everybody wants guidance. Everybody wants counsel. Everybody wants it to be wonderful. It's a really, really amazing name. And a lot of times when we, especially around this season, we kind of just shout the name and go like, oh yeah, Jesus is the Wonderful Counselor. But do we know what that ultimately means for us? And so, you know, obviously as I was thinking about that, my mind drifted to the movie Hitch. I don't know, has anybody seen the movie Hitch in this room? Yeah, it's okay. You're not a sinner if you watched it. I mean, good grief. It's like, no, you know, but like, okay, so who here has seen that movie? Okay, so people have seen this movie. Okay, so just to let you know, this movie, is this okay? It's like, it feels like it keeps going in and out. It's in and out. Eh, whatever. It doesn't need to go online. Yeah, nobody's going to want to hear this afterwards anyway, so that's fine. So, no, that was not an awe thing. You don't have to awe me. That's fine. So I was thinking about this movie, and in this movie, what happens is that there's a gentleman who's played by the actor Kevin James, and he is living in this monotonous life. And every single morning he gets up and he goes into the office and he writes stuff, and then he goes home, and then he wakes up the next morning and goes back to the office and he writes more stuff, and then he comes home. And all the while he's thinking about this other life, this amazing life, this incredible, perfect life. And it's all surrounding one thing: the beautiful, the glamorous, the gorgeous Allegra Cole. It's always a girl. This amazing girl. He looks at it and he goes like, this is the perfect dream. This is what I want my life to be about. And so what does he do? He does what every single person in his position would do. He goes and he finds the date doctor. Oh my gosh. It's true. He's played by Will Smith. Date doctor. This is before he went crazy, though. So this is Will Smith. And so Will Smith is the date doctor, and he finds him, and he meets with him. And so Will Smith looks at him and goes like, you know what, brother? I got you, man. I got you. And Kevin James decides on the steps of somewhere that this man is going to get to his dream. This morning, one of the things that I want to ask you, and this is kind of like a rhetorical question, but like, what do you think made Kevin James go, you know what, I'm going to invest all my time, all my money, everything that I have in order for you to make my perfect life come true? And so since Will Smith is not here, and that is not our lives, the correlation to that for us is we have a good, good father who calls himself the Wonderful Counselor. And he says, I will provide you the perfect life. Why do we not trust him with that? So this morning, what we're going to do is I'm going to read a verse, single verse, I promise, that's it. This is going to be short this morning. So a single verse from Galatians 2. This verse is mind-blowing to me, and it's even more so now. But we're going to read, I'm going to pray. And then today, like, I really want to focus on the why. Why should we trust the Wonderful Counselor? Why? So we're going to read, pray, and go. All right? So Galatians 2, verse 20, says this. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Amen. Jesus, this morning I pray that you would utilize our time. God, I pray that you would give me your words. I'm an idiot, God. And so please, please let me back out. Lord, would you use this space? Lord, would your spirit come? Would it fall in this place, God? Would you speak loudly to us? We are people that have a tendency to forget. And so, Lord, I pray that we would not forget this morning. Lord, use this time. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right, so before we get started, what do you think it means to have the title, The Wonderful Counselor? And this is a Q&A. So I'm asking you, and I need some answers. So what do you think it means for Jesus to be the Wonderful Counselor this morning? He's very good at it. What else? He's a healer. What else? Trust what he says. Absolutely. What else? Filled with wisdom. Yes. Yes. What else? He knows. He definitely does. What else? Awesome. That's I like that. What else?
Powerful.
What else? He's God. What else? He's okay. What else? Okay. What else? What else? Consistent. I like that one. What else? Our restorer. There's so many things when we think about a counselor, right? There's so many things that we're looking for out of a counselor. And so when we think about the Wonderful Counselor, we think about this name. We hear this name all the time, especially during this period of time in our season. Like, we love Isaiah 9:6. Oh, we love that verse. What does it mean? Well, I'll tell you this morning. Counselor, guide, somebody who's going to provide wisdom to us, right? So that's amazing that the idea that God is a counselman for us, that he provides guidance to us, that he provides counsel for us, that we can come to him and say, God, I need your help. And Jesus says, I got you, man. But here's the most amazing thing. It's the first word that is so cool about this title for Jesus. What do you think the word wonderful means here? Just that word, because we use that a lot, right? Works wonders. What else? Awesome. What else? Amazing. Oh, okay. So we're getting there. Ultimate. You want to know what the word in Hebrew here means? Incomprehensible. See, I will sit there and I will go, you know what would be wonderful right now? A donut. Like one of those like cream cheese filled ones at like Dunkin' Donuts that they do every once in a while. Yeah, Candace, you know. So I do this. Like I will point them out and I will embarrass them every single time I speak up here. The only person I will not embarrass is that lady over there. So because she will, I don't know. So all right, so like, and that's it. I'm dead. All right, so here we go. So this idea of wonderful. So I think about wonderful and I use this term. And I use it for a lot of different things, right? Like the music is wonderful. Not my music, but other people's music is wonderful. You know, my wife is wonderful. Thanksgiving is wonderful. But when we use the term wonderful in this instance, in this moment, for the description of who Jesus is, what that means is that Jesus is a counsel and a guide whose wisdom is literally not capable for us to understand. It is so far above us. And you know what? I think there's a verse that says that. It's actually in Isaiah 55. It says this, my thoughts are what? Are not your thoughts. Why do we think that they are? My ways are not what? your ways. Why do they think we are? Why do we think we're so smart? We're not. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, think about that. Think about, if you think about the universe, it's like 100 trillion light years both ways, evidently. Something like that. It's crazy. As far as that part, all the way to earth, are God's thoughts from our thoughts and God's ways from our ways. And yet we feel like we can come before God and say, God, you know what? I think this is the way to do it. You know, I don't really need your counsel. I'm a smart guy. My wife would attest that that is not a fact. I am not smart. So how can I come before the God of the universe and say, dude, I got this? The description of our Jesus, the Savior that has come to this planet, is that the counsel and the guide that I will provide is so much further than anything that you can comprehend. Do you trust him? We say that we do, but we'll get into that. So here's the next part. So this is what the wonderful counselor means. So what defines Jesus as the wonderful counselor, right? So if it's incomprehensible, it's something that I don't understand, what makes Jesus this? So this is like stuff that, you know, we hear all the time. We don't really talk about very much, though. Like we don't really, like, wrestle with this. You know, when it comes to trusting Jesus, having faith in Jesus, what is trust? You know, if somebody came up to me and said, you know, who should I trust with making this dinner? Should I trust you or should I trust your mother? I'm going to tell you, it should never be me. You know why? Because I've seen my mom cook. I've declared the wonders of my mom's cooking. I grew up 18 years of my life eating Korean barbecue every single day of my life. If you don't know, I'm half Korean, and I will talk about that all the time. I walk around with a soy sauce shirt, and it's really funny. You know, so like I grew up on that. I've watched my mom cook. I've seen what my mom's cooked. I've eaten what my mom's cooked a lot. I've eaten a lot of what my mom's cooked. And let me tell you something. I trust my mother making dinner. You know why? Because her food is really, really good. So I would trust her with that. You know where trust comes from? It's knowing who this person is. You have to know. Blind trust, that doesn't really work. Who is this person? And let me give you a couple of ideas of who Jesus is this morning. You can put your finger in Galatians and turn over a couple books. Go to Colossians. Colossians 1. And I just want you to think about this, because this is something that we don't really think about during the Christmas season. We get sucked into the fact that it's all Jesus in a manger. And so we get stuck in that. But you have to remember, you have to think about this holistically. Think about this. This is the description of Jesus. Chapter 1 in the book of Colossians, in verse 15. It says this: the Son, who is Jesus, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. Now get this. For in him all things were created. This is Jesus. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities. We should probably trust that. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Think about this picture that Jesus has given himself through the Apostle Paul. I literally opened my mouth at the beginning of time and the entire universe was created. There is no reaction to that. He opened his mouth and everything that wasn't was. This is the baby in the manger. And not only that, he spoke the entire universe into existence. But it says here that the whole universe still exists because he literally holds it together. In the book of Job, you know the description that he makes for the universe? He says this: listen, Job, you are a decent guy, but let me tell you who I am. I span the universe by the palm of my hand. I can't even palm a basketball. And Jesus says, I can palm the universe. The whole thing fits here. The whole universe is by him, it's held together by him, and it's for his glory and his worship. Do you trust him this morning? That's one description. One description. That's the basis of who Jesus is. He is the God who sits on the throne of heaven and earth. Do we believe that this morning? Because if that's what we believe, that shapes what we do. I'm not going to get too far into that. I could talk about that a long time. I will next week. You should come back. Isaiah 6. We're going to throw down some hammers next week. It's going to be great. So that's one picture of Jesus. So here's the other picture. That's the most amazing thing about Jesus is that that's not where it ends. And so we watch him come to earth as a baby. He grows up. And then we go through the Gospels and we see these incredible stories. We watch him engage with the disciples. Let me tell you something. The disciples, they're dumb. They're idiots. They're losers. And Jesus comes up to them and says, come follow me. And all those idiots and losers, they drop it. They drop their stuff. And you watch them grow in their relationship with Christ. And they go from these idiots and losers to the foundation of the church. God changes them from one thing to another. He goes up and he meets the Samaritan woman at the well. And the woman whose entire identity of her entire life is found in every man. And she is so unfulfilled that the moment that Jesus comes up and says, hey, I got water that'll satisfy your soul, it changes her life forever. Forever. Eternity. Forever. And one of my favorite things is he goes to this. He starts his ministry, and he goes up on this mountain, and hundreds of thousands of people follow him up. And all these people that have been told their entire life that you are nothing more, by the religious leaders, by the governmental leaders, that you are nothing more than a number and money in my pocket. That sounds like some leaders. You are nothing more than a number in money that I can utilize in my pocket. Jesus gives the greatest sermon ever. You know why? He says one thing. You are blessed. You want to know why? Because Jesus is here. The same Jesus that spoke the universe into existence, the same one that sits on the throne, has come here, and he's a part of your world now. You are blessed. Because I am here. See, Jesus changes everything. He doesn't just change one or two things. He changes the whole game. The game is different with Jesus. And my question is, do we trust him? So we know what the wonderful counselor is. We know why Jesus is the wonderful counselor. So here's my question. And we're finally going to get back into our passage for this morning. And I promise we're not going to go another 40 minutes. So we're coming to a close, actually. I told you it was going to be short this morning. Whoa. It's not that short. Okay, come on. So here's a question for you. What does a life look like that trusts the wonderful counselor? See, it's amazing. Like when Pastor Carl, he came up to me and said, hey, we're going to do, this is what I'm thinking about for Advent. What do you think? Cool, that's fine. And I want you to preach a couple weeks. Yeah, that's cool. So I want you to preach a couple weeks. And he's like, pick a couple of the weeks to preach. And so the moment I saw this title, this verse came to my mind. And I'm going to read it again. And I want you to think about this. Galatians 2:20, I have been crucified with Christ. For how many of us is that really like, that is the picture of our relationship with Jesus? I've been crucified with Christ. It's not mine, that's a fact. So I've been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life that I now live in the body or in this flesh right here in this body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. You want to know the most amazing thing about the gospel? So when we think about counseling, we think about a counselor. Typically, we have to call somebody, right? We call somebody and go like, hey, listen, I have a problem. I need some counsel. And they tell us, hey, listen, it's going to cost you this much. Great. Awesome. I had problems before. I have more problems now. So I'm going to go. Okay, I'll pay you the money, and I will come and meet with you. And you typically meet with them once a week, once every 2 weeks or something like that. You come in. They may sit you down on a couch or in a chair. And then you start talking. And they ask you questions, a lot of open-ended questions that you don't really want to deal with. And then they listen. They write down some notes. They give you some homework. And they say, go and do those things. So you go home. And then you do those things. And then what do you do the next week? You come back, you have a check, you give it to them, you sit down again, you start talking again, you talk about the week, you go through it again, they give you more homework, and what do? You go home, do the stuff, and then you come back. And it goes on for weeks, it goes on for months, sometimes it goes on for years, right? Counsel is a really, really awesome thing for us on this planet, isn't it? Here's the most amazing thing about Jesus. Jesus says, I'm different. You know what? You can come to me. But I know that you can't come to me, so you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to come to you. That's pretty sweet. And not only am I going to step off of my throne, that's Philippians 2. Think about that. You're a king. We're going to talk about this a little bit next week. You're a king of all kings. And you step off of your throne. You take off all of the kingship and all of the Godhead, and you become one of the peasants. Now, that's a story in and of itself, and what we're going to talk about next week is how incredibly insane that is for us. Because it is way different when you talk about us and the God of the universe. This is not no king that sits on the throne. This is a king who sits on the throne of heaven and earth. And he stepped off of his throne and into our world. We're going to talk about that. But think about it. God says, I will come to you. And not only will I come to you, listen, this doesn't have to be a weekly thing. This can be a daily thing between us. A daily thing. I'll come to you every single day. You might get tired of that. Not with this one, though. And not only will I come to you every single day, it's a 24/7 thing. Anytime. Any place. I am never asleep. Listen, I got that whole world thing under control. You and me. Every single moment of our lives. He promises that. Here's the most amazing thing. Jesus does not take residence down in an office three blocks down. Jesus doesn't even come and say, hey, can I live with you? I'll live in this house, in a room, and you can come see me anytime. You see, Jesus is all in for us. And so what Jesus does, it's not down the block. It's not even right next to me. He says this. He says, I will live in you. And there will never be a moment for all of eternity, from this moment on till the end of time and beyond the other end of time and thousands upon thousands upon thousands upon thousand generations, you will never, ever be without me. That is a wonderful counselor. The wonderful counselor that does not move, he does not shift, he does not change, he will be with us for all of eternity. And here's my question, why do our lives not dictate that? This is the same God who sits on the throne. And he says he lives in us. See, we can sing songs and we can pray prayers. We can come to church on Sunday mornings and we can have the Christian life. And there are many that do that. But for a lot of us, let me tell you something. And I say us in a very general sense. I don't know you guys well enough to say, like, this is us at Westminster Bible. But in a general sense, and I've been in ministry for over a decade of my life. That doesn't seem like much, but I'm 32, so it's a long period of time. It's over a third of my life has been in some sort of pastoral ministry. And I've talked to children, I've talked to students, I've talked to parents, I've preached, I've led worship all over the world. I've done so many crazy things that God has opened my life towards. And you want to know something? One of the things that is a staple in every place that I go is that there are so many people that say that they trust Jesus, but you know that they don't really trust Jesus. Like we like that song, Jesus Take the Wheel. I don't, but there's a lot of people that do. I'm not a big country fan. I don't like country music. So I don't even know. Does Carrie Underwood count as country music? She does? It's like pop music. Does Taylor Swift count as... No, okay, I'm sorry. Whoa, she's like going to fight me. Okay, I'm sorry about that. All right, so that song that Carrie Underwood sings, Jesus Take the Wheel and stuff, we're like, oh, you know what? That song, it's so great and stuff like that. But we are so easy to tell Jesus, hey, Jesus, can you sit in the back, please? I got this, man. I don't need you to steer. I don't need anything. I just need a crutch when things go bad. Christmas is so cool because it's like the culmination of a story, and then it's like the beginning of a new story. That's really cool, you know? In the beginning, God creates the heavens and the earth. Jesus. And so he creates you and me. He creates human beings. And not only does he create human beings, he creates them differently than he creates everything else in the universe. He creates them with an imprint of himself into them. And he says, your identification is not just that you're part of my creation. Your identification is that you are mine and I am yours. It's amazing. That's the image of God. Every person that has ever lived on this planet, that is what they are marked by the image of God. They are created to be in relationship with him. Nothing else. And so we go through Genesis 1 and we see them live this amazing life and God gives them directive. He's just like, you can go work hard, make babies, eat everything else, everything. You can be anywhere except for this one thing. One thing, don't do that. It's amazing how we're drawn to the one thing, right? It's like when I was growing up, and so I got spanked like 3 times in my entire life. Like, I was afraid of my parents. My dad was a Marine, and my mom is full on, like, Korean. And I don't know if you know, but, like, my mother, she's probably going to listen to this. She's going to beat me up, too. And so my mom, like, 99% of the time is incredible. The other 1%, Satan. I mean, it's really, like, it's just frightening. It's so scary. I've only seen my mom get upset like a couple times, and it's only been like really upset with me like once. And I was 5 years old, and we walk into the store, and my mom said, listen, we got Korean barbecue at the house. And I'm like, yeah, you know, at 5 years old, I'm so excited about that. And so, but you know what? I walk in, and I see, like, I don't know if they do this anymore, but they're like in the lines, there was like this canister of like the vanilla wafers. Amen. And so there was vanilla wafers that were there, and I walked up to it. My mom's like, don't do it. Do not do it. There is Korean barbecue on the other side, brother. Do not do that. You know what I did? I did that. I will never forget that day. That was a bad day for me. Not a good day in any way, shape, or form. We're always drawn to the one thing. There is one thing. My mom said that she would buy me vanilla wafers that day, and I still went and took the vanilla wafers that were right in front of me. I could have had an entire box, and I had one cookie in my mouth, and my mom's like, what did you do? You know, that's what happened. We are always doing the one thing. So God says the one thing, don't do it. And so you know what they do? They start approaching it. And then the enemy comes out. Satan comes out and they start having a banter back and forth. And so Satan then pulls out the trump card. He pulls out the ace of spades. And you know what he says? Hey, listen, I know this is what all God has said. I know this is what all God has done. Let me tell you something. You eat of that tree, you know what's going to happen to you? You're going to be God. Oh. I can be God. And then they go. And it changes everything. All of a sudden, the perfect life that they were living in perfect relationship with God of the universe. Perfect relationship with him. Everything that they were supposed to be, their identity and their purpose was found exactly where God wanted them to exist and to understand and to know and to believe and to live for all of eternity with him. And in the single second, they go like, nope, you know what? God, I don't need you. I got this. That sounds a lot like us when we look at the counselor and say, I don't need your counsel. I got this. Everything falls apart outside of Jesus. Everything burns. You can see that. You see that in the world around us. Everything that we see on the news, everything that we see online, it's all bad stuff. People are dying. People are getting murdered. There's all just kind of tragedy that's going on. And you know what? There's only one thing that prevents and saves everything. That's Jesus coming. That's why we celebrate the Advent. Do you trust him? Because if you trust him, here's the call for us. Here it is. If you want the wonderful counselor in your life, this is what Jesus says. Jesus says, you must die. I must live. If I want God's counsel and I want to experience life the way that he's always meant for me to experience it, the wonderful counselor providing guidance and providing counsel everywhere that I go, in every single step, in every single breath, it can't be me anymore. Why do we keep holding on to this? God is sitting there and saying, I have the life that you're looking for. I'm the one. I can bring it to you. But you know what we do? We do Genesis 3. God, I got this. This is my life. That's what got us here in the first place. That is sin, ladies and gentlemen. Sin is looking at God and saying, I don't need you anymore. See, whenever I hear the idea of like dying to self, I kind of run away. Like, who wants to hear that, right? Who wants to hear some crazy guy stand in front of people and go like, hey, listen, die to yourself. No, that's okay. I'm going to leave now. But here's the it's so crazy because like I read this and I think about Paul and it's like, you know, Paul, I like you, man, but like I like a lot of your stuff. This stuff I don't like so much. So I like a lot of your stuff. But then you read some of the other passages that Paul has, right? So he says here that you die to yourself, that you must die. And so you look in Philippians 1, same guy. What does he say? To live is Christ, and to what is the last part of that? To die is gain. What kind of idiot wrote that? To die is gain? To live is Christ and to die is gain. But for Paul, and here's where I can prove it, because I'll be the first one to tell you, you know, we talk about Emmanuel, we talk about God with us, we talk about experiencing the Advent, what that looks like in our life. I will be the first one to tell you that 99% of my day has nothing to do with Jesus. You know why? Because I like being my own God. I like doing my own thing. I like telling God, you know what, I got my own life, I got it. I don't need your help. But here's Paul, here's a man that if there's anybody that's understood the gospel, it's Paul. And Paul says, beyond anything else, you can have everything. He says in Philippians 3, if you put a scale here, you can put the entire universe on one side. But if Jesus is on the other, I'm taking Jesus every single time. You know why? Because that's the life that I was always meant to live. Why do our lives not look like that? You know why? Because we're idiots. We are sinners. See, when we want to experience the wonderful counselor, it's not about like, I don't know how to say this. It's not like faith, how a lot of people talk about faith. Like, I have faith in this chair or something like that. Okay, fine, whatever. You know what it is to experience the wonderful counselor? It's surrender. This morning is not a question of where your faith lies, it's where your allegiance lies. The question this morning is, where does your worship lie? I say this a lot, like a lot of people talk about idolatry and they talk about different things that they serve. For me personally, everything comes down to two things. Either you're going to worship Jesus or you're going to worship yourself. It's one of those two things. And so there is this dichotomy, this incredible war that continues to wage, where I look at God, I look at the God who sits on the throne and says, I got this. And God keeps looking at me and saying, no, you don't. You don't got it. Please just trust me. Please lay your life down. Please do Romans 12. Come to the altar. Don't just bring stuff. Bring your heart, bring yourself, and lay it on the altar, because that is the life that you are supposed to live. You want to know what Christmas is? That is Christmas. Jesus has come, and he's called us to himself. And the big question is, do we trust him? Because if we trust him, if we are a church that looks at Jesus and says, Jesus, here's the altar. I'm not just going to bring songs. I'm not just going to bring prayers. I'm not just going to bring Sunday mornings to you. I am going to bring myself and lay it down on the altar and say, Jesus, I have to die because that is the life that I want to live. I want to live with you, man. I want my life to be you. I want you to breathe through me. I want you to move through me. I want every aspect of my life to be about Jesus because that's what I was created to do on this planet. Do you trust him? We can say the names. We can talk about 9-6. We can talk about Christmas. But ladies and gentlemen, Christmas is about worship. Who do you and I worship this morning? If it's the wonderful counselor, our lives should never be the same again. Should never be the same. That's Christmas. This morning, I had a song we're not going to sing tonight or at the end. I want to take a couple minutes and just ask the question of ourselves. Jesus, do I really trust you, man? Because what trust really is the altar. You know, you hear pastors talk about it all the time as far as like tithing and the trust is worship. That's what that is. Well, in this instance here, it's like, what do you trust? Do you trust Jesus or do you trust yourself? If you trust Jesus, Jesus says, bring yourself to the altar. I want Christmas for us to be absolutely mind-blowing and changing lives. It starts at the altar. I'm not saying you have to come to the front or anything like that. You can stay in your seats. But just for a couple minutes, just Jesus, do I trust you? You can be a believer today and ask that question. As a pastor, I have to ask that question. I trust you with this, Jesus. So let's just take a couple seconds, just heads bowed, just a couple minutes of silence. Do we trust you, Jesus? Father, thank you for being all in for us. Thank you that you knew that we would need a guide, that we would need counsel, that we would need the Holy Spirit in our lives. God, thank you that it's not just like something that we can do once a week and hopefully get a bunch of stuff and then go home and work on it. But Lord, you've already paid that price. There's no payment. There's nothing. It just come. Father God, I pray personally for myself, Lord, that Lord, every day, God, would you take just these little bits and pieces of this dark heart of mine and would you make them more like you? God, that I would see the kingdom and your glory more frequently in my life. God, that as I get to know you more, Lord, that it would translate itself into, God, you're the king, you're the guide, you're the counselor, you're everything, Lord. I need to bring myself to the altar in front of you, die to myself so that way I can experience life and life that has no bounds. Eternity. The way that it was always meant to be, and that was with you. God, I pray for my friends. I pray for my brothers and sisters. Lord, I pray for anybody in this room, Lord. Maybe there's people here, God, that have never experienced the life-changing power of the gospel. Lord, I pray that this morning that there would be a gnawing at their hearts. God, that there would be this gnawing that they could not release it, God, until they come face to face with you. God, that they would experience what life really is. And Lord, for us that have come before the King, God, would you forgive us for ever making it about us? Would you forgive us for ever making Christmas about us? God, would you forgive us for utilizing your name for our own personal gain? And God, would you make us alive in you? God, would you change our hearts and make us more like Jesus? And God, that we would be the people that would stand on the front porches and stand on the mountaintops, God, and that we would proclaim, there is a wonderful counselor. He has come. He is here. He lives in us, and he has promised to come and live in them. God, that we would be the people of reconciliation on this planet. Jesus, thank you so much. Thank you so much that you did not wait for us to come to you. God, you came on a rescue mission for us. That was the plan. Would you break our hearts, God? Would you bring us to the altar? And God, day by day, God, would you allow us to give more of ourselves until it's a daily dying over and over and over again? Jesus, we want you to live and breathe in us. That's the promise, because that's the life, that's the true life, God, that you desire for us to have. That's the gospel. Will we experience that? God, give us a great week. Lord, I pray that you would provide opportunities for us as Westminster Bible Church, starting today, starting in a couple hours. God, that we would announce your name. God, that we would build relationships with the community around us, whether it's in our workplaces, it's at Bishop's Garth, it's at the Starbucks, it's wherever we go. But God, would you use us to announce your name and your renown and your life and your gospel, God, because that's life. That is what the world needs. God, would you use us for that? God, would you allow us to use this season to proclaim it loudly? Lord, bless us. God, bring us back next week. God, I pray that next week we'll be able to celebrate all the things that you've done this week. God, I pray that Westminster Bible Church would be a church that's about the kingdom and the kingdom alone. Your life for ours. God, would you do that? Lord, thank you. Send us out. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. You are dismissed? Yes, you are dismissed.